The question is, why does God allow people to suffer? And I think that's an important question. And from the time you were born, off and on, you had some suffering. And some of you are probably having suffering that's quite often in your lives. And that's the way it is with life. If we live, we're going to suffer. If we live long enough, we're going to suffer a whole lot of things. Your body was not made to last forever. You have a body that was given to you that is temporary. Thankfully, the body that's going to be given to you by the Lord Jesus when He comes again and He changes your body will be an imperishable body, an incorruptible body, a body that will not have pain like you know today ever. And so that's the kind of body that I'm looking forward to having one day. You see, heaven was not designed for flesh and blood, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. And the bodies that you have, the body that everybody has, is a body that is one that was temporary. It grows old and it dies. And that's the way it is in life. From the time of Genesis chapter 3, whenever Adam and Eve sinned, there were some things that took place at that time. And he talks to Adam and he said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. That's what he told him. Cursed is the ground because of you, and in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so from the very beginning, whenever Adam and Eve sinned, one of the things that took place is there was a curse that took place. And part of that curse is that we're going to die, every one of us. Now, some live longer than others, but all of us one day will see that time whenever this life is no more. It's appointed for men once to die, that is every one of us, once to die, and after this comes judgment. But death is going to come our way. In Romans 5 and verse 12, it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, speaking of Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, all people, because all sinned. Now, sometimes it's your sin that causes pain. Sometimes it's somebody else's sin that causes pain. I feel very sorry for the folks that are in Ukraine right now because of the people who are attacking Ukraine, killing them, destroying their homes, destroying their families, and separating people, and killing people, and fire, and all kinds of destruction. Well, why? Because somebody wants that land. Somebody wants that land. Wars are always caused by somebody lusting for what somebody else has. And so there's an awful lot of things that happen a lot like that. The thorns and the thistles are part of life. And the devil, unfortunately, controls a lot of people. 1 John 5, verse 19 says that we know that we are from God. And then it says, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Well, he wants evil to reign. He causes people to do evil. He wants them to do things that are wrong, that hurt other people. And so people, because of their selfishness and many other things, are going to hurt. Now, we also are imperfect people. Yes, we're imperfect people. You're imperfect and I'm imperfect. I don't always use the best wisdom on everything I do. And you don't always use the best wisdom on everything you do. You think about sometimes you're driving down the road and you want to change lanes, and who knows what's in the other lane sometimes. People can slip, fall down the stairs. People can do all kinds of things that aren't necessarily sinful, but they happen. Why? Because we are imperfect people who don't always think before we act. And life gets that way. That's another cause of pain. Oh, I know all about hurricanes, tornadoes. I know about fires. I know about floods. I know about all kinds of things that happen. And they're not anybody's doing. They are part of this world and the thorns and the thistles that came into this world from the beginning. They're part of life. And none of us are going to get out of this earth alive unless the Lord comes first. And so because of that, the older we get, the more we have arthritis in our knees and hips, and the more we have to wear trifocals like these. You know, I'm too arrogant to put the lines in. And all of those kinds of things. If I were better, I'd wear my hearing aids because I don't hear everything I want to hear. Life is that way. We all get older and we all have things that happen that take place. And so even good people, even people who love the Lord, they're going to suffer from time to time. In Romans 8, toward verses 34 and 5 and following, it talks about how that we are all like sheep accounted for the slaughter and all the kinds of things that we get into. There are people who are mean and ugly and they don't care for the things that God's people care for. And they're going to persecute them. People this day and time always want to kind of hush up somebody else. And the ones that get hushed up are the ones that want to speak the most. And sometimes people get too passionate. And sometimes they hurt one another. And that's not a good thing either. Not everything that happens to you or to me is good. But God has the ability to take even some of the hardest and harshest things of life and make some good come out of them. The war is a terrible thing, but there are brethren all over this country who are doing things to try to help the brethren in Ukraine. Of all the places in the former Soviet Union, there is no place in the former Soviet Union where the Church of Christ has made more impact than in Ukraine. And we have made all kinds of things in order to help those who have been refugees, the million people who fled out of the country, to help them. Things are being done to try to help the people of Ukraine who are still there. All kinds of things are being done. And sometimes what happens when something bad happens is that people who have love and who have care and who have the heart of Jesus Christ in them want to do something good. You see, that's what the love of the cross has done in this world. It takes the ugly things and it causes the heart of people to want to do good things in order to deal with the ugly things. We have hospitals because of Christ. We have all kinds of schools and other things because of Christ. It was Jesus Christ and His influence of wanting to do good and wanting to be kind that has made a difference in this world. It is the ignorance of God and the ignorance of His ways, unfortunately, that caused a lot of people to do things that are evil and do things that are wrong and hard. Sometimes you and I, we forget that if we sow to the flesh, Galatians 6 and verse 7, that we'll reap corruption. But if we've sowed to the Spirit, we'll reap eternal life. Because we sow to what is right, that we're going to reap what we sow. And if we sow to things that are bad, then we're going to reap bad. If we sow to things that are good, then there will be some reaping that is good. And you and I are people who not only, yes, through the bad that's in the past, have to reap some of the harm that comes from it, but because of the good that was in the past, looking at the harm, we're reaping the good of what other people have done. You're eating all kinds of food because somebody raised it. You're in places where you can go to a doctor because that doctor studied hard enough to be able to do something to help you and somebody had to figure that out. If you have to have a serious surgery, you can have a surgery. If you'd lived in another country or you'd lived in another century, you'd be dead. I would be. I had to have gallbladder surgery in 1993. And if I hadn't had that surgery in 1993, I would have died. Fortunately, they had figured out a way to go in through my belly button and have all these little wires going this way. They didn't have to cut me from pillar to post like they used to. Figured out how to do that, and I had the surgery on Monday, and I went home on Tuesday. I didn't do anything for a couple of weeks. But 5 weeks after I had gallbladder surgery, I carried two 70-pound bags and a backpack and other things and went to Russia to teach. And I was there for 2 weeks. Where would that have happened any other time? Why? Because God helps us to find answers. Let me talk about how that there are some values to suffering in the time we have left. If it can be shown that suffering has a value and can lead to good in a person's life, then its presence does help us to understand why God allows suffering. Now, it's an assumption on people's part that ease and happiness are the greatest good in life. I want to read a passage to you that I think is kind of interesting that sometimes we miss from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. Ecclesiastes is a book of pictures. It's like a picture book. You have this little picture, and it'll have another little picture. But here's one of them in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. He says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart." They'll learn something. "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." There are some very good lessons when we began to look at mourning, when we began to look at the things that are there, that we learn about life. I tell you what, it's hard to lose a loved one. This time last year, I guess it was the latter part of February, we had a funeral for my sister, who was 3 years younger than me. She died of cancer. My brother and sister got to go all the way out to North Carolina to visit her shortly before she died. She was the closest sibling of all my brothers and sisters, and I lost her. And it hurt. It hurt. But whenever I think about that, it helps me to realize, you know what? I'm getting older and I'm not going to live as long as I want to live. But one of these days, I'm going to pass from this life to the life to come and I'm going to be with my Lord. I'm going to get to go and be with Him and with my mama and my daddy and my teachers and loved ones and people I have buried for the last 50 years who are saints. I'll get to be with all of them. I had a week or so ago where within a period of 3 to 5 days, I heard of the death of 8 people that I knew. It was rather struggle time for me. And yet when I think about it, I learned that yes, life can be over very quickly. People die when they're young. When I was in Senatobia, Mississippi in the early 80s, late 70s, I had a coworker who was a youth minister who on his 27th birthday died of brain cancer. He was a very attractive young man, football player. And he had cancer and he just up and died very suddenly. And how do you deal with a congregation when their youth minister dies suddenly? It was a hard, hard time for the whole church. And yet it was a time that reminded us that we are all mortal. But there's something more than just this life. If we only think this life is all there is, we're making a mistake. Because there's more than this life. I think about the good that can come from those things, and I think about the fact that people began to think about, well, if he can die young, I could die too. I need to get my life right with God. I need to be what God wants me to be. Suffering is instructive. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 and verse 8 that the Lord Jesus, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. You know what? Sometimes it's the hardest times of life that help us to see how wonderful Jesus is to us and what all blessings He can offer to us. Suffering can be instructive and can help us. It can help us to know ourselves, what kind of character we have. Are we going to be patient? Are we going to be kind to others? Are we going to be a person who keeps his faith when he suffers? It's very easy when everything is easy for us to be happy and kind. Can we be happy and kind when we hurt? That's where character comes along. And character gives us hope and it gives us patience. Suffering teaches us what's really important or valuable in life. How many times I have seen people who, whenever they had a tornado come through their house, and they lose everything, and they said, "Yes, but my family all survived. My family all survived." Sometimes we forget what's really valuable and what's important. Whenever we suffer, we can begin to be thankful for little things and for our blessings. There may be some things you don't have that you wished you did, but why don't you count the things you do have and what God has done for you? And sometimes being thankful for what we do have is so important to help us during times whenever we lose the things we have. Suffering teaches people to be compassionate for the needs of others. Whenever you hurt, you know how to help somebody else that's hurting. Whenever you have been through a hard time, you see things and you understand needs that people have that somebody who just comes along might not see. When they need a drink of water, like David knew, because preachers need a drink of water from time to time. But it might be that they need someone to just hold their hand, to smile, to tell a silly story, to give a hug, to give an encouragement. There is value whenever you understand what it means to be alone, to be hurting, and those things, to help somebody who is alone and hurting, and to help them, and to give them what they need. Suffering helps us to remember to pray. When you can't do anything else, you can still pray. When you can't talk, you can pray. When you can't be with people, you can be with God. Prayer is something that is a precious, precious blessing through all of the things of life. Suffering teaches people the value of kindness in word, in thought, and in deed. It teaches people that bright hours do follow the dark hours. The things do pass. No matter what may happen to you in your life, you can always say, "Well, this too shall pass." It doesn't last on and on. That there is a time in which things will be better, will be brighter. Suffering helps us to encourage and encourages us to remember God at a time when maybe we've forgotten Him. You know, the prodigal son didn't wake up till he got hungry and he didn't have any money. Suffering is what saved that boy's soul. I have a situation where a lot of prisoners come to church at Edmond. We have a lot of prisoners who come. And they visit, and I make a point of speaking to each one of them and to meeting them and trying to remember their names, which is not always easy. But I've had more than one prisoner tell me, "You know, if I hadn't gone to prison, I'd have never become a Christian. If I hadn't gone to prison, I would have never learned the truth. If I hadn't been sick, I might not ever have understood the need to be well and the need to do right." There are a lot of things that suffering teaches us that we would not have known otherwise. And there are times when our trials help us to be patient. You know, most of us are that kind of people of, "Give me patience, God, and give it to me now." That's not how God teaches patience. God helps us to mature. And it's by suffering and by hard times that we can become patient. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for our sakes, and He learned how to obey through His suffering. He suffered pain and injury, insult, punishment, rejection, prejudice, jealousy, hatred, hunger, and weakness. He suffered through no fault of His own, but He suffered for your sins and for mine. And nobody can accuse Jesus of not understanding suffering. But He suffered for you and for me. And He learned to obey, and He wants us to be obedient when we suffer as well. I think one of the most helpful passages of the Scripture is in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. And there it talks about how, looking back at chapter 2, how when Jesus suffered, He didn't threaten, but He entrusted God who judges all men righteously. And in chapter 4 and verse 19, the same idea comes out, that whenever we suffer, we give ourselves to God who can help us through those times. I want to say to you in these closing minutes that love and suffering are not incompatible. Jesus never once questioned the Father's love in going to the cross. Never once. Oh, it was painful. I can only imagine what He went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, making the decision to do what He knew would happen, to do that, to give Himself up and to surrender to the Father's will. But He did. And He did it why? Because He loved you. He loved you. He suffered because He loved you. And there are times when love brings suffering and heartache. When Jesus died, He didn't die for His own sins. He died for yours. And He was willing to suffer. Jesus' death teaches us that suffering can accomplish good purposes for others. The suffering of one may bless the lives of many others. I have a brother named Richard, born on Friday the 13th in August 1948. Yes, on Friday the 13th, he lived 7 weeks and he died. It broke my parents' heart. But whenever they looked into the autopsy and why he was dying, they found out that there was a birth defect and how they could cure that birth defect. And though my brother died of it, you see, his milk that he drank would go into his lungs instead of to his stomach. There was a little flap there that had a hole in it. And they learned if they could repair that, he could live. But that didn't happen for him. But there have been children, many children who've had the same problem who lived because he died. They learned from that. I think about Joseph who suffered to save Israel during a famine. Or Moses who suffered to lead Israel out of Egypt to freedom. Or David who suffered that he might establish a righteous kingdom. Or Jesus who suffered that he might save his people from their sins. Sometimes voluntary suffering, even unjustly, helps to accomplish wonderful things. Jesus' death on the cross proclaims that there's something worse than suffering. I want you to hear this if you don't hear anything else. His death on the cross proclaims to you and me there's something worse than suffering. And that's sin. He would rather suffer than for you to be in sin. That helps me to understand a whole lot of things. His death assures us that suffering in God's will always leads to glory. And there may be times when you suffer according to the will of God, but it will lead to glory. And God will be with you. One last thought, because I think I only have a minute left. There is never one moment, never one second, never one particle of a second that you as a child of God who belongs to Him ever, ever, ever are outside the love of God even when you suffer. God always loves you no matter what may happen to you in your life. And that is what makes such a big difference. May the Lord be with you and through your struggles.